Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to another public affairs program. And we're focusing in today on the LEAD program in Nebraska. And with us now to visit a few minutes about it and a recent trip to Eastern Europe are three members of the LEAD 42 class, and they're all from the immediate area. We've got Michelle Bose with us. Michelle, you're from Arcadia.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for coming in. We've got Brad Parliament. You're from down the road there, southeast of Broken Bow in Mason City.
Yes.
And thanks for coming in. And Levi French from right here in Bow. How you doing, Levi?
Doing well. I'm happy to be here.
Great. So let's get into this, too, because this caught my attention when I saw this picture in the article about it online about your recent trip, and I thought it'd be good for the folks to hear some of your experiences over there as you were in three different countries?
Yeah, we were in Romania, Hungary, and Poland.
And so, Michelle, give our listeners a brief summary of what the LEAD program is. I'm sure there's some that have heard of it, but not quite connected with what it is yet. And then tell us how you became a part of it.
Yeah. So the main mission statement of the Nebraska LEAD program is to prepare and motivate men and women in agriculture for more effective leadership. So what that means is they really work on developing leaders, especially from rural parts of Nebraska, in all aspects of agriculture, and just make them better leaders for our local communities on a state level, national, and even international level sometimes. This is the 42nd year of the Nebraska LEAD program.
Incredible.
We're LEAD class 42. So there's about 1,200 graduates of the program that live across the state and, I mean, have spread out to other parts of the nation and world, too. So for me personally, I learned about the LEAD program through both my parents. They both graduated the program about 20 years ago or so.
Okay.
And just kind of growing up and seeing how the LEAD program changed their lives, how it led them mm-hmm. to get involved with state and national boards. Mm-hmm. Like helping, a big part of the LEAD program is the reason why my mom owns her own business now, which is where I work. So it's just been really
Great.
Neat to see the impacts of the program, you know, through the last 20 years or so of my life.
Wonderful. Levi, how about you? How'd you get into it?
Yeah, so I had heard a little bit just through social media. I heard about it from my aunt and a couple other places. And also there was a couple past local alumni here from Broken Bow and Custer County I had saw on the alumni list. And so kind of just started asking some questions, you know, what the program was about, what their experiences were like. And it was something just kind of resonated with me, just something that kind of felt like, hey, this would be good for me, a good fit for me. And this is something I'd really like to experience. After that, you know, it was just kind of a you know, we're here in Custer County, you know, very agricultural based, you know, that's one of my passions, part of my job and career. And so I think it was just a real easy way to pair leadership, with that ag, passion. And so just the two kind of naturally fell together, and just from there, we knew it was all gas.
Okay. And Brad?
I'm kind of like Levi. I knew some people in the community that have been through the program, and through social media, I'd posted, some of the highlights of their experiences. And then my boss was a graduate of the program 30 years ago, and him and I were visiting about it one day, and the opportunity was there for me to join, and he was willing to support me in the time off work and some of the things that go along with being gone for some of these experiences. And where I'm not an ag producer, I work with ag producers, and I work with lenders that also work with ag producers, and we thought the opportunity was there to broaden my horizons and maybe mm-hmm. gain some leadership skills that would carry me through my career in both talking with other employees of the bank and customers I visit with on a daily basis.
Okay. Well, and I know as part of this, before I launch into your trip and get your ideas about that and how, you know, your impressions of that and what you're taking out of it, doesn't as part of being a LEAD is making yourself available, right, several times a year to go to, like, I don't want to call them conferences, but get-togethers where you discuss things, right? Maybe, Michelle, you could elaborate on what you do kind of as a normal course of things, because it's not like you're flying overseas every other week or something like that.
Yeah. So the LEAD program, it's a two-year program that you sign up for. So we started our journey back in September of 2023, and you have 12 in-state 3-day seminars, and they focus on different aspects of like agriculture, the social structure of everything. So we've learned everything from like personal development. We've learned about all the different like sources of electricity in the state. You know, the hydroelectric. We toured Cooper Nuclear Plant. We've been to like the Gerald Gentleman coal fire plant down by Sutherland. And then we also do different things, like we learn about the different world religions, just to kind of prepare us for when we do go overseas or when we're meeting other people, you know, how we can kind of connect and respect their religions and their cultures and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we have the 12 three-day seminars. And then towards the end of the first year, you go on your national study travel seminar. And that's to Kansas City, Washington, D.C., and Chicago. And then on the way from Chicago, we stop at in Moline, Illinois, and tour John Deere. So a lot of that one is, you know, learning about agriculture on the national scale, meeting with a lot of the leaders like American Farm Bureau, Dairy Farmers of America. We visited the EPA regional offices in Kansas City, just kind of making those connections. And so then the second year is actually the first seminar of the second year is when you find out where you get to go on your international seminar.
Oh, okay.
So when you sign up for LEAD, you have no idea where you're going to get sent to. And so the three seminars leading up to our international one is kind of where we learn about our countries. We learn specifically about the economies there, the ag side of it, the religious and cultural aspects of it. And then this international seminar is kind of basically the capstone course of our entire LEAD process. So that's kind of where we bring everything together. We see everything on a world scale. And we actually will come back. We have two more seminars after this, and then we'll graduate in March. And it's just kind of putting everything together and getting us ready to, you know, go out and kind of see what changes need to be made in our community and in the world.
So would it be fair to say the purpose is to, before you go, is to understand the cultures of where you're going, basically. That's going to help you interact with the people you meet. But once you get there, you're trying to learn about things specific to agriculture, maybe, that their practices and things that maybe you can bring back and incorporate a little bit into what you do?
Yeah, so we tour farms while we're there. We also, they focus a lot on like the historical and cultural parts of the countries that we're visiting. So like, for instance, one thing we got to do while we were over there was we visited Auschwitz, which was, you know, I think very impactful for everybody in our group, especially we were there about a week before the 80th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz.
That's amazing.
And so that was just really moving to see,
going to mention that it was in the article here that I saw online that you actually, it was quite the emotional experience for you, and I'm sure these guys probably would say a little bit emotional too, because you know what happened there. It's just a horrific event.
So they really do a good job at focusing on, you know, not just agriculture, which is what we were there for, and we did tour a lot of farms. And one of my favorite quotes from one of the farmers that we met with was he said, "The ag is the universal language." So we were able to really connect with him on, you know, what they do there, kind of their struggles, what they're seeing, you know, with their governments and the EU and that kind of stuff. And just really make connections on that level, too.
Sure. Brad and Levi, I'll come to you because we don't want to let Michelle hog the whole thing, you know. Although you're probably okay with that. But so what were the things that impacted you guys, each of you, starting with you, Brad, on the trip, the things that you've had to reflect on, have been able to reflect on here the past couple of weeks?
One of the things that was maybe more eye-opening to me on site than it was from reading books or studying was how far communism set these countries back. We're in a town that's nearly 1,000 years old, established, beautiful cities, but some of the technology and agriculture is just not there. Under the communist regime, they were told what to do, how to do it, and nobody had large-scale operations. They were subsistence farming, giving crops to the government instead of free markets.
Right.
And the lack of established open markets was extremely shocking to me. And some of the political stuff that really set in with me was with communism controlling the movements of people and the information flow. Radios were illegal in certain countries.
Yeah.
When the news is 100% controlled by the Communist Party, they only feed people information they want them to know. So they were shut off from the rest of the world for so long.
Hmm.
It's just fascinating what 50 years of living in a bubble can do to a country and how they've had such a hard time coming out of that and progressing forward, even though they're what we say old country, they're a new country in their freedoms and their technology and processes.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Levi?
Yeah, so I think the one thing, I guess I wasn't sure if I really had any expectations going over there, you know, just trying to keep an open mind. One thing I guess that kind of just really surprised me from the agricultural side was just how, similar to what Brad was saying, how some of these changes through political regimes and communism had changed the size and scale of operations over there. For example, in Romania, we learned that well over 50% of the farms there are less than 10 acres.
Hmm.
Just a bunch of little tiny fields compared to what we're used to.
Yeah.
Right now, one person might own several of these fields, but just the size and scale of the operations was a lot different probably than what we were used to here. So that was a difference, but I also think there was a lot of similarities that I saw, which maybe I wasn't expecting, just in kind of maybe some of the struggles and things like that, you know, how their issues with water and issues with synthetic fertilizers and seed debates and things like that. So I think there was just a lot of similarities, a lot of differences. So that was kind of eye-opening. And then I just kind of like to piggyback off what Brad said. You know, I kind of went into this with maybe the preconception that these were going to be old countries, right? And physically they are, but not compared to, I mean, Poland didn't even exist there for a couple hundred year span. Like, Poland wasn't even on the map. Some of these governments have existed, you know, half as long as the United States has been around.
Yeah.
So that was just unique to see. And then above all, you know, just experiencing, kind of immersing ourselves in the culture, just the people. You know, unfortunately, a lot of those countries spoke majority of English anyway, so there wasn't a huge language barrier. But just seeing the different foods, the different cultures, different music, just kind of experiencing that firsthand was just really impressive to me.
And Michelle, come back to you. Anything that you'd like to add on top of what you were talking about earlier as far as what impacted you from the trip?
Yeah, so probably the main thing that I've kind of reflected on since we've gotten back is just the need for, you know, us as leaders in agriculture and these rural communities, the need for us to kind of step up and, you know, be in those leadership positions, you know, making sure we're electing officials that, you know, stand for our values and kind of serve our communities. And then if we don't see those leaders stepping up to be elected, like, maybe we need to look at ourselves and, you know, step up and fill those roles for our communities anyways. So
a lot of good things. I'm sure you got to experience a lot of different types of food over there. What would you come away thinking you'd like to bring back here and have on a regular basis?
I'll just start by saying I love my fast food.
You gained a bigger appreciation for your fast food because they don't have much over there.
Right? I really, and that's just my personal taste, is I miss some of the home foods we have. There was, we ate a lot of meals that were kind of the authentic cuisines of the country, and the different spices in the different countries added a different flavor to maybe a food you're familiar with, had a different taste to it.
Yeah.
And but it was, I think Hungary was probably some of the best food I've had anywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You agree with that, Lee?
Yeah, I mean, there was, I think my favorite, I mean, I tried maybe a dozen or so different soups. I mean, I don't think there was a soup over there that I didn't like. All the soup was really good. I mean, we saw a lot of different cheeses, cold cuts, things like that. Some things that were pretty good. There's some other things that maybe weren't quite up to my speed, but I think that's just kind of part of experiencing it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought the thing that surprised me was, so we had a lot of three-course meals while we were over there. So we had the soup and then the main and then the desserts. And I was kind of surprised. I thought I would like the desserts more than I did, but they weren't as sweet. They were kind of more plain and just not what I expected, I guess. But, okay. You know, for on the most part, the food was all very good. And
did they have any ice cream? That'd be my question, because I got to have ice cream.
We found gelato, and that was about all we could find for ice cream.
Yeah.
There wasn't much for ice cream over there.
I think in general, there's just a lot less preservatives, a lot less processed foods over there. I mean, you could just see that. We could taste it. You know, I mean, you saw that.
Yeah, that's understandable.
I think the one thing that surprised me was we ate that lunch. I forget where we were even at when I think we were still in Romania, but they canned their own vegetables on site with no USDA type inspection.
Yeah.
And used that when they served the food in their restaurants and processed their own beef. And we saw their processing room attached to the restaurant. Wow. So it was a pure farm-to-table restaurant. Mm-hmm. And so when you're eating these foods, like Levi said, we're not getting the processed foods. We're getting what you eat out of your garden.
Yeah.
And it was probably so much better for us.
Mm-hmm. Should have felt healthy then, right?
Should have, yes.
You probably did feel healthier. All right. Well, Brad, if someone listening to this program would like more information and maybe that we piqued their interest about getting involved in the LEAD program or want more information about it, where would they go, either online or I'm sure you'd welcome them contacting you about it?
I would for sure talk to anybody that wanted to participate to ask questions to me. But if you do a quick Google search of Nebraska LEAD program, it'll lead you to their webpage, which is lead.unl.edu. And on that webpage, if you went through the alumni list, odds are you will find somebody you know on that list. And reach out to people, talk to them about their experiences and the pros and the cons. I have a hard time finding any cons with the program. I've thoroughly enjoyed the opening of my mind to new ideas and new experiences and expanding my knowledge. And the people you meet in the program is probably the greatest asset to the program. Is there's 29 in our class. Should be 30 usually. We had one person couldn't make it at the end. But the sharing of ideas and camaraderie we gain over 2 years is amazing.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you all took lots of pictures while you were over there experiencing these countries, huh?
Absolutely. And I mean, if anyone's interested, I mean, they also have a LEAD Facebook page. If you're a visual learner, hop on there.
Okay.
You'll see some of the current stuff from LEAD 43 as they're going through their national experience in Washington, D.C., Chicago, and Kansas City. So there'll be pictures of that. And you scroll a little bit further, you'll see plenty of pictures of our experience from Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least you didn't go to warm weather climates such that it was a shock when you came back. It probably was pretty similar over there. You were telling me that it was cold over there, and Poland had snow, so you probably wanted to bring some of that snow back this way, right?
We did need the moisture, yes.
Well, our guests today on Public Affairs have been Brad Parliament of Mason City, Levi French of Broken Bow, and Michelle Bowes of Arcadia. And we thank you all for coming in and talking about your experiences with Elite Group.
Thanks for having us, Corey.
Thank you.